Mm-hmm. Welcome into the Patriots podcast. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
All right. We were going to do a little off-season primer for you guys. It's been 2 weeks since our last podcast in which we recapped the Super Bowl 51 championship.
Still Super Bowl champs.
I know, right? Feels pretty good. And so we just want to take a quick look at what's upcoming in free agency and the draft and what the Pats are thinking these days. The first thing that comes to mind is we are currently in the period where you can franchise a player.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we franchised anybody last year.
No.
But the year before that, we did it to Stephen Gostkowski.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in the past, I think we franchised Will Fork. We might have franchised Mankins. So it's always a high-caliber player
mm-hmm.
that you think about doing that. And we have a few free agents this year. I think we have 14 unrestricted free agents.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, not that. Greg Scruggs is one of them. So they're not all champions. I mean, they are all champions.
But yeah, but they're not all top-tier players.
Yeah, whoops. Bumbled into that one. The only ones that are really capable of getting franchised this year are Dont'a Hightower and Marty Bennett.
Yeah.
That's really it. And if you were going to franchise Marty Bennett, tight end, that's like $9 million a year, and that's more than Gronk's making. So that's something they try to stay away from,
mm-hmm.
paying backups more than starters. So the only one that really makes sense is Hightower. And for some reason, the NFL's descriptions for franchise tags goes by position, but their positions are really weird.
Yeah.
Like linebacker is all one, whether you play in the inside or the outside. Now, that's good for Hightower. He's going to get like Von Miller.
14 or 15 mil, yeah, right?
I think it's like 14.
Yeah.
Because it gets inflated by some of those guys that play on the outside. Now, Hightower does play on the outside, so it actually is fitting for him.
Also the inside, though, too. I mean,
yeah, but he's primarily an inside player.
Yeah.
At least, you know, that's the way he is on the
roster. Inside. Right. Yeah.
There are a couple other ones that are weird, like defensive linemen. That's all one group.
Really?
No, actually, defensive tackle. Yeah, defensive tackle and defensive end are separated.
But right.
Offensive linemen are all one group. For some reason, centers and left tackles are considered the same position, according to the franchise tag. Figure that one out.
You sure? Really?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Really strange. So Hightower at $14 million a season. I don't know. I mean, that's certainly more money than... Jamie Collins just got $12 million, right?
Yeah.
A year. So 14 is a pretty big step up. That's far and away the most for an inside linebacker in the league. But would it be worth it just to make sure he doesn't leave? I mean, he is the captain of the defense.
Well, they were talking about a transition tag as well, which I know is a little more confusing. It's almost like a restricted free agent, where you kind of have them at, I don't know how they figure out the salary, but it'd be closer to around $10 million. And then if anyone signs him, you have first right to match it or something like that. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. So you can match whatever contract he signs.
So he's not definitely yours, but, I mean, $14 million is a shitload, especially for a player with partial injury history. But you're right. You have to keep Hightower.
I know.
I mean, he is absolutely pivotal to defense. We've talked about it in length before, especially after this Super Bowl. Now, in the past two Super Bowls we've won in the last decade, he's made arguably two of the biggest defensive plays, or you know, two of the top three or four defensive plays. Obviously, the strip sack in the last Super Bowl, in the 2014 Super Bowl when Marshawn Lynch was trudging towards the end zone, he made the tackle to stop him on the goal line,
yep,
which led to the interception. So big players make big plays at the biggest points, and he did it twice.
I know. He's 26 years old. He's right in the prime of his career.
He's only gotten better every year.
Yeah. This year wasn't his best.
Well, he was injured a lot.
Yeah, he was hurt for a while. And that, I mean, that's a big part of the equation, is that he's been banged up every single year pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen when you play his style of football.
Right.
Very physical. So that's all goes into the equation about what you're going to offer him. And the thing about the franchise tag is you can basically press pause on the negotiations with him, and you see what everybody else signs, and then you can offer him something very similar to that. I mean, the weird thing is with Jamie Collins signing an extension, we already kind of know what his market is.
Yeah, it's like 10 to 12 million.
Yeah, it's probably closer to 12.
Yeah.
And to be realistic, I mean, there are teams out there like the Raiders who have a good amount of talent on defense, but they could really use that centerpiece.
Right.
And I literally mean that, in the center of the defense, to make sure everybody's lined up and everything is working together. So you got to worry about somebody like that coming in and highballing Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been shy about it. He's like, yo, I'd like to be in New England, but this is a business.
Yeah.
And I already got two rings.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth now, but he does.
He does have two. So, I mean, I don't. The thing I don't understand is that they're, obviously we have no idea, but they're saying that there hasn't even been contract talks with him. I mean, I know we just won the Super Bowl and there's a lot to that and shit like that. You got to pay the guy. You got to fucking pay the guy. He's the leader of your defense. He's a captain. He calls the defensive signals. He's probably your best player on defense right now when healthy.
Potentially.
I mean, you know, you paid McCourty.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't pay McCourty before free agency.
Well, they had to see you. But like you just said, we didn't know at the time how much McCourty would get offered. We didn't think it could be anywhere close to that point.
Yeah.
You know, and like you just said, I mean, Kuechly just got into a contract, a year or two ago. So that kind of set the bar. And then with Collins now at 12, I mean, we kind of know where it's being dictated. And you can understand that if he goes to the open market, he'll probably get a million or two more than the Pats' top dollar. We know that.
I think before the season started, the rumor is he turned down $11 million a year.
Hightower?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then, you know, Kuechly makes 12 and a half, and Jamie makes 12. I think he's expecting 12.
Number one?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, everyone would want to be number one. Maybe he's holding out, and he's like, actually, I want to test the market.
He could be, because he said it. I mean, he has said in the past how hard it is to play in New England.
Yeah.
I mean, he did say that, so he might want to go somewhere else. But if you look at this defense, if he leaves, linebacker goes from, you're all right, you're in a decent spot, to holy shit, well, now we really have to scramble to see what the hell is going on. And I don't think the free agent market for linebacker is going to be very good.
Yeah, that would be a really bad situation for us.
So then you have Van Noy, McClellan, Roberts, and then if you can make some draft picks, sure. But, I mean, out of all the free agents, I think Hightower is the one you pay. You give him the money he wants, or the money, or at least close to what he's asking for. Something, I mean, I would think if you throw $12 million on the table and say, that's your annual pay, what do you think? I don't see why he wouldn't take it, but there is always that side. Maybe he wants to see what is out there.
I would go 4 years, $48 million with like $30 million guaranteed. Go real high in the guaranteed money.
Yeah. Give it to him. I mean, he's going to be here for the next so many years anyways. You want him here.
But then injuries hurt, man.
Yeah. So that's a tough one. I don't know what's going to happen with that. A lot of the free agents, you know, it's funny what free agency has done in the last couple of years. They've allowed these players to just snowball such enormous contracts, but that's part of the game. So a lot of these guys see that and they're like, ooh, I can get some of that, which is right. They should be getting that much money, but Hightower, if you lose him, man, I mean, that right there immediately puts your defense at a complete loss.
Yeah. That's, you know, why I think we should franchise him.
Yeah.
Franchise tag him. We have $60 million under the cap.
Yeah.
Franchise him and then just deal with it in like May.
Yeah.
Or deal with it later on in March, whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure they have all kinds of different proposals already like sketched out. At least I would hope so. That's what I would be doing if I was in their position.
Well, and I mean, with Hightower,
watch what happens. See what Lawrence Timmons gets on the open market. See what happens to some of the David Harris.
Yeah.
Not that that's a really equivalent player at this stage in his career, but just try to figure out what it's going to be like. And it's, I mean, we all kind of know where it's going to go. It's going to go right next to Jamie Collins.
Yeah. I mean, it could be even a little more, but if you give him a similar contract to Jamie, you'd think he'd go for it.
I would hope. So that's why I think franchise him and then just, you know.
All right. I say just give him the fucking money. You have, like you just said, we have over $60 million in cap space. You figure he's going to be the biggest part of that, of taking that up this year.
Yeah.
Why not? Tom Brady is making $1 million this year.
Yeah, but his cap hits pretty a lot higher.
I know, but like just the point, you know, it's like you got to pay somebody. Fucking pay him.
Yeah, and then the other one is Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, but he's
going to need a lot of money.
He's restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. You can tender him at first round and give him, what, like $5 million or something?
It's like four.
Four. And, you know, a guy like that who's a little more modest seems to like playing here. We gave him the opportunity. He would be more likely candidate to say, okay, I'll take, you know, you give me a big contract. I would think he'd be the type of guy that'd say, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, you know? Especially because he's made almost nothing since coming into the league.
Right.
He's been in the league 3 years, and he has made less than, like, rookie minimum in those 3 years because he was an undrafted free agent from a tryout. I mean, he has the lowest salary you could possibly imagine. So, yeah, he could be in a position to take a little bit less money than you would expect. Also, do you know Butler's like 27?
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was that old.
It's because he was a rookie at like 24.
Oh, wow.
He was not a young rookie.
Beast.
Yeah. Which puts Logan Ryan into perspective. Logan Ryan's like 25.
Right. I mean, that's what I was just going to bring up is Logan. So he's the other one. Him, I mean, it's going to be tough to re-sign him.
Yep. Very tough.
He's a great tackling cornerback. He has his up and down moments in coverage, but he's pretty solid overall.
Yeah, he plays inside. He plays outside. He plays big receivers pretty well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to cost... Some people are sitting... I can't believe some of the predictions you see. They're like, oh, he'll get like $7 or $8 million.
It's right.
Like, dude, do you know Kareem Jackson just got $8 million like 2 years ago?
That right. Guy's,
Brandon Carr got like $11 million.
That's
Byron
the thing.
Maxwell, $11 million.
You would think he'd get... I mean, if we could get him for $7 million, sign
I'd
us
do that.
Up. Yeah, what the hell? $8 million? Sure, I'd probably even do that. But when you get into 10, like 8, 9, someone would pay him. I don't know who. Someone would pay him.
There's so much cap space around the league and such a lack of dependable cornerbacks. Somebody's going to give him 10 a year at least.
But the problem with him is they're going to give him that much money. They're going to put him up against the number one. Whoever gives him that much money probably doesn't have a good cornerback, and we'll put him up against the number ones every week. And I don't know if that's necessarily his best.
He can do that sometimes. Just sometimes. Give him safety help. Give him safety help.
Yeah. Well,
DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Marshall.
He did have his days. Definitely.
Demaryius Thomas. He plays well on those guys, but he needs the safety help, and don't expect him to be a shutdown. But he's a solid player.
Just
his price is going to be outside our range. And that's
I would think so.
A big part of why we traded for Eric Rowe and why it was so nice to see him play well.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to have to figure out the slot between Cyrus Jones, Jonathan Jones, Justin Coleman.
I mean, they can work with that.
Yeah.
We've worked with a lot less. We've worked with a lot less and got pretty far, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be bummed to see him go, but he's going to get way too much money for us.
He'll probably get paid. Yeah, I think so. Who else? You got on the defense, Alan Branch.
Alan Branch is a big one. No pun intended.
Yeah, I think he, you know, he'll probably command between 5 and 7 million, I think. And I think we'll pay him.
Nice yeah.
Two-year contract. Yeah.
Because what do we have? Two other D tackles, and we like them both. But
yeah.
He's clearly better than both of them, at least right now.
Give him a nice 2-year contract.
Yeah, exactly. Two
several
years,
million.
12 million.
Right.
Half of it, like the first year guaranteed.
Exactly. I think they do that, and I think that would work out for both sides. So I'd be surprised to see him walk.
Same. Unless they went somewhere else. Unless they wanted to go real big at that position. Somebody like Calais Campbell or something.
Yeah. Maybe. I could see. Well, and then
they wouldn't be doing both. They wouldn't bring back Alan Branch and sign a big old D tackle like Calais.
No.
You're right. I don't know.
You never know.
That's
surprised if they did something like that.
It's a lot of resources to dump in there.
Yeah. And so for DN, you got Chris Long and Jabal Sheard up. Long, it really depends. I mean, I could see him sticking around for, I mean, he's made his money. He's made shitload of money.
His rookie deal, he got so much, and then he got an extension.
Yeah. So if he wants to stick around, he clearly can, and I think he might if he really likes it. I mean, his dad grew up in the area. He had a solid season. I mean, nothing crazy exceptional where he's going to go and get tons and tons of money. So, I mean, I think he could go somewhere and get $3-5 million a year maybe. And if he wants to take the $2-4 million, he could probably stick around here if he wants.
I don't think they're going to give him a contract.
You don't think they're going to sign him?
No, I don't think they saw enough. I think they'll probably move on.
Really?
Yep.
I think they'd give him a contract for like 2-3.
I don't see it. I mean, his contract last year was for 2.4.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to even give him that much. I don't think they really want him on the team.
Really?
I mean, from a personality standpoint, I think 100% they want him on the team. But on-field production, there's not that much there.
Yeah, true.
And he's 31. It's not getting better from here.
Yeah, I think they'd extend him something around that range, but maybe not. And Sheard, I don't think they'd pay him. Yeah, Sheard's I don't think he can go get a shitload of money somewhere.
I don't know about a shitload. I mean, if we were having this conversation a year ago, I'd be saying Sheard's getting 14 a year.
Now it's like,
now I'm eight. Like, maybe eight. Yeah. And he's probably looking for a shorter term deal too. Not that he's looking for one, but that somebody wants to sign him to one. Just
right.
Because of the inconsistency they saw this season.
Yeah.
Martavius Mingo.
Yeah, he'll be back on a veteran minimum maybe.
Yeah, he's a special teamer on our team.
Yeah. Who else we got? So is that anyone else on defense that we're not mentioning?
Harmon's the other big one. Harmon, I could kind of see coming back. I think we would give him 2 to 3 a year.
I think he'd get paid way more than that.
I think he could get more than that. Yeah, I think he could get probably 4 or 5
at least.
Another team. And from another team, he's going to get
starting
role. I mean, he's almost starting at this point. He plays over 50% of the snaps defensively.
Yeah.
And gets time on special teams. But if he goes to another team, he could get more money, and he's going to get 80%+ of the snaps because that he's a starting caliber free safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't offer him that many snaps when we got McCourty on the team.
Yeah. So that's
would be a bummer because
he's a good player.
Yeah, well, when you can bring somebody to play center field and that allows McCourty and Chung to both play man coverage underneath,
It's a luxury.
It's a huge luxury.
Yeah.
Against multiple tight ends. I mean, McCourty can even play on receivers.
Mm.
And just to not need like four deep corners to be able to use McCourty as your like fourth corner.
Yeah.
Definite luxury. But yeah, I think Harmon has earned a starting job at another team. So when you look at all these players that are going to be leaving, at least in our estimation, it's almost like, how are you going to fill up $60 million?
Right.
Yeah, you're looking at this and you're like, oh, shit. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to sign Bennett back. I think Bennett's going to be getting more money than we're willing to give.
Well, possibly. So Bennett, he said two things that I thought were interesting. One was obviously, when they asked him about it right before the Super Bowl, he was like, well, you know, I'm probably only going to be in the league 4 more years. Do I want to spend my life here? Maybe. Do my kids want to be here? Does my wife like it here? All that stuff. We have to talk about all that and make sure that figures out. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, you know, obviously he wants to get paid. You only have so many opportunities to make your money. But the interesting thing he said was that people pay winners. And if you're on a winning team, you're going to get a lot more money in endorsement deals and stuff like that as opposed to being on a team that nobody cares about. So that got me thinking, maybe he's thinking, okay, I could go get money from some shitty team that'll pay me a lot more, or I could take a little bit less in New England now and maybe cash in on endorsements. Because, I mean, you got like look at Julian Edelman. If he was playing anywhere else, there's no way he'd be on any commercials. He's in commercials. He's making endorsement money.
Bennett, you don't think he'd be making, I mean.
No, I don't. Like, I don't think there'd be any chance in hell he'd be in commercials.
Okay.
Like him, I don't know if Amendola's in any commercials, but like those type of guys, you know. You go anywhere else, they're probably
men. Is that what you're saying?
No, little white guys.
Yeah, but they're both good looking.
Okay, well there you go.
Helpful. Just ask Brady.
I mean, what I'm saying, you know, so if he takes a little bit less money here, maybe he thinks, well, maybe I'll take a little less on the contract and cash in on endorsements because he's a great personality for endorsements. And if he's in New England and they keep winning, he'll get all the opportunities for endorsements in the world. Look at Gronk. Versus if he goes to Houston or any other market that's not as big and not as successful, he won't have any opportunity for those.
Oh, shit. He would be a great fit in Houston. Isn't he? He's from that area.
He's from Houston. They need a tight end.
They could really use a tight end.
Well, I don't think they have any cap money.
Oh, really?
Well, think about it. They blew
they got a crop
20 thing. On friggin' Osweiler.
Yeah, they gotta cut the Brock Osweiler.
So that's my one thinking. That's the only saving grace that maybe Bennett comes back is that he wants to, you know, he sees that as an opportunity to make a lot more money than he would on the open market. But the other thing is if you pay him a lot of money, now he might be making more than Gronk. And like you said, that's probably a no-no.
Yeah. Before the season, I guess, this is another rumor, they offered him an extension for 7 a year. Mm. And he turned that down. It's hard to imagine them going much higher than that.
Right.
Like 8.
Yeah.
Maybe 8.
That's what, I mean, that's the max.
Gronk's making $9 a year. Certainly not going to be more than $9 a year.
No way.
I'd be shocked.
I couldn't even see him getting to $9.
They might be able to work it 2 years for $16.8 a year.
Maybe.
With like 10 guaranteed. I mean, it could happen.
And then who else we got? We got, is Solder up or no?
No, we still got Solder. We have Cannon locked up. We did that during, our offensive line is in great shape. Solder's only got one more year on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they did an extension with him before. I don't see any reason they couldn't do that again.
Amendola's taking a pay cut. He's making like $6 million.
His cap hit is $8 million.
Yeah, that's coming down.
Yeah, let me see. His cap hit is $7.8 million.
Yeah.
Not happening. So for like the third straight year, he's going to have to restructure and get that number back down to $3 million. Or just under $3 million like it was last season.
I can't believe they paid him that much originally.
Yeah, they gave him like
5 year, $30 million or something.
Yeah, it was either $30 or $35 million.
It's like, what?
He got big money, but he hasn't seen most of it.
No.
Or he's seen probably half.
Yeah, probably half. So he's getting cut. So that's even more space.
Well, no. He's not getting cut. He's going to restructure.
Well, he might leave.
He really shouldn't leave.
Dude, shouldn't.
You're 31 and you are in a clutch role on a great offense.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave if I were Rhode Island.
He seems to like this team.
Rhode Island?
Yeah, he lives in Rhode Island.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm just saying, from a worker standpoint, if it is a business, when you take 3 pay cuts in a row, sometimes that ruffles people's feathers. You know, when you're like, well, if you don't want me, fuck it, I'll leave. That type of thing.
Well, wouldn't he do that like 2 years ago?
Well,
He just won the Super Bowl.
Well, he just won the Super Bowl again. That's true. But this is his second one.
Yeah.
I would think he'd stick around. I mean, I'd be surprised if he didn't stick around.
I would hope he did too. Every sign I've seen from him is that money's not the most important thing to him.
Right.
At this stage in his career.
And then elsewhere, we got Blount.
Yeah, Blount's an interesting one because
he just had a huge season and kind of died off by the end, but
He had a huge season.
He slowed down in the playoffs. He really didn't do much damage in the playoffs.
We didn't ask him to.
No, I know. Well, we thought against the Falcons we'd do something, but that didn't happen. No. But he basically said he wants to stay in New England. He'll see where it goes, but he would love to stay here. So I would think he'd stay here on,
a few. Another one-year deal?
Well,
maybe a two-year.
Yeah, you know, maybe they give him a couple-year deal that's like not worth very much, and he's like, all right, like 4 years, $10 million or something.
No, they're not going to give a 4-year deal to a 30-year-old running back. Get out of town. They're not doing that. Maybe like 2 years, $5 million. I mean, it's really unfortunate that he hasn't made that much money.
Yeah.
Because he's been a good player. But, I mean, even the deal he signed with the Steelers to leave the Patriots initially was only like 2 years, $3 million.
Why didn't we sign him?
It was not much money. Well, because we knew he was coming right back.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd hope he's back for sure. And I would hope, I don't think he's going to get more than like 2.5. I mean, it's doesn't really move the needle on our salary cap space.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's good back to have. What I think we'll probably also draft one.
Yeah. And then we have all kinds of cap space.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a good chunk of that cap space, hopefully will go to extending Hightower or franchising him.
Yeah.
Depending on their viewpoint of things. And then I would love to see an extension for Malcolm Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is such a Patriot hero. I can't imagine him playing for another team.
Yeah, you really don't want him on another team. And then the other $30 million or so, who knows?
Yeah, who knows there? I mean, a good chunk of it is going to go towards little signings, like maybe they bring back Michael Floyd, Alan Branch. We mentioned Brandon Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
Is a special team extraordinaire. They really like him. Bring him back for a couple mil. James Devlin will make a mil and a half or something. So it'll be like little ones that kind of add up. And then they also want to retain a decent amount of cap space to sign this rookie class. And they like to bring it into training camp so they have flexibility to make training camp and in-season moves. As you know,
right.
You want a guy like Kyle Van Noy becomes available. You want to make sure you have space to be able to accommodate that.
Yeah. Couple mil cushion, but that still leaves, I mean, with that and rookies, you still got at least 20 to work with.
Well, is this including Hightower being signed?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where you're getting your numbers from.
Well, think about it. Rookies and a cushion is like what, 10 million?
Yeah, 10 or 15.
So, you know, after Hightower and Butler, you're looking at, I don't know, another 15, maybe 20?
Yeah, but then all the little guys I just mentioned.
No, that's true. Yeah, okay. Well,
those guys add up. So, I mean, it'll go pretty quick if we re-sign players, but, I mean, there's a reasonable chance that Hightower decides to take more money elsewhere, and maybe Butler doesn't get extended and he just plays out his tender, and then we have a huge chunk of money and we're like, what in the fuck
are we going to do with all this shit? Right. And then it's just a complete Frankenstein.
Yeah, and then we'll find out whatever they think.
Yeah.
We'll see. Watch them throw big money at Dontari Poe. That guy's going to make like 12 a year.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
He hasn't even had that great of a career.
Ooh, he threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, right.
The other real big story with the roster right now, trade rumors about Jimmy Garoppolo are swirling.
Garops.
Yeah. We've been hearing rumors
all over the place.
Basically since September.
Yeah.
And the one that's real persistent is the Cleveland Browns 12th overall pick they picked up in their trade last season.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be like
right there.
The prime offer that we keep hearing. And a lot of the other teams that would be interested, like the Bears, like the Niners possibly. I've heard the Texans floated out there. I don't think they would do that deal.
Mm-hmm. I've even heard the Saints.
You heard the Saints?
Heard the Saints.
Yeah, nobody talks about how old Drew Brees is. That guy's still slinging it, and he's like 39 as well.
Yeah.
He was drafted a year after Brady. Anyway, some of the other deals would be like a second and a third. So like the Niners and the Bears have real early picks in the first and second rounds, obviously.
I've read articles, though, from Chicago sports analysts that's saying they should give up their first round pick for him. They want him.
The third overall pick?
Yeah.
I think Belichick, well, I think he would trade back with that pick if they got it.
I mean, I think if you trade back, you can get a lot of shit for that. So probably.
Exactly. Which is, I mean, it's almost the same as if you were to trade for like a second, like the 12th overall pick is very similar to a high second and a high third. Those are pretty similar in value. And like a third overall pick would be like a high second, a low second, a high third, something like that. So if you were to get a package like that, I think it's pretty reasonable for them to move on from Garoppolo. A lot of people are saying
no.
Like Michael Lombardi is saying, don't trade him. Like, you don't want to do that.
The thing, there's so many people that are, you know, from my thinking, you got him for a second round pick. He's done a good job. You did exactly what you've tried to do with every other quarterback that we've drafted. And he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
That's the big thing.
What is you think? That's what I don't understand. Like I've been talking to people, and they're, oh, we shouldn't get rid of him. I wouldn't even take him for a first rounder. It's like, are you insane? Do you think he's going to sign back with us next year if Brady has another good season? No, he's going to go get paid and start somewhere.
Yeah,
like exactly. That's the point of being a quarterback in the NFL. You want to start until you suck, and then once you suck, then you go back to the backup, get paid, and just hold the clipboard. Then they love that.
Exactly. But it all revolves around the idea that you could sign Garoppolo to an extension. And it's like,
you're not
probably gonna, won't do that.
There's like no chance.
The only chance is if Brady doesn't play well.
Right. Which,
or Brady gets injured, you know, one of those things.
Injured, sure. I mean, they're not playing well. I mean, the guy, if he played a full season this year, probably would have won MVP.
Garoppolo?
No, Brady.
Oh. You're talking about Garoppolo. I was like, that's a big extrapolation right there.
And I mean, if one of these guys throws a top 10 or top 15 pick at you, it's like, you wouldn't take that?
That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. It's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. Is Brady going to be good again this season?
You would think so.
There is no reason to think that he won't be.
Right.
And the only way that Garoppolo stays is if Brady is not good this season. So are you willing to make that bet?
Yeah.
That you're going to bet against Tom Brady being good in the face of all evidence that he is, and you're going to wager a first-round pick on that.
Right.
Fuck off. I'm not doing that deal.
Right. It doesn't make any sense, these people that are saying that, like, oh, you got to keep Garoppolo. It's like, for what? You want to hold on to him for another year? It's like, let the kid go start somewhere. See what happens. If you can get a first-round pick for him, great. I mean, I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, you know, we've thrown around... I remember the Matt Castle, they thought that he was going to go for a first-round pick, and he ended up going for a second. So it's like...
Well, he went for 34th overall.
So close to
a first. That's a damn close. That's a high second-round pick.
But people were talking about a lot for him. Yeah. You know, more than that. I mean, I know that's still pretty damn good because he was like a sixth or seventh. What was he, like a seventh round draft pick?
Yeah, it was either a fifth, sixth, or seventh. I can't remember which round.
So, but, you know, a lot of these people are saying he looked great. He's more sure thing than a rookie. So that's where a lot of these teams thinking are. Yeah, if we had a high first round pick, it'd be unreal.
It'd be incredible. It'd be
fucking unreal.
Jonathan Allen, if we got the third overall pick, guaranteed Jonathan Allen is the draft pick.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll get into draft territory when we get further into the offseason. He's a defensive end at Alabama.
Okay.
Stud. but yeah, make the deal. Make the deal.
That'd be unreal.
It's over. Yeah. You going to hang on to him just so he could rot on the bench for 16 games?
I know. It really doesn't. I don't understand people's thinking there. It's like, sure, you're right. He's a good player. That's great. Why don't you get fucking something out of him?
Yeah, and then the only other, I mean, in their defense, you could franchise tag him after next season.
Yeah, but that's just...
That's assuming that Brady is... Then you have to make the same exact bet the year after that. Oh, is Brady going to suck in 2018? Well,
if you franchise tag Garoppolo, you're essentially saying that Brady's gone.
Yeah, that this is Brady's last season.
You can't have two quarterbacks on your roster that are making $15 million a year or whatever it is.
It's 20,
whatever. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You only have $160 million in cap.
Can't spend more than a fourth. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be way too much. Although, that's the perfect name for it. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we're really on the same page about Jimmy there. I was shocked to see that from Michael Lombardi.
A lot of people are saying that. It's like, what are you fucking talking about?
How could you think that?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even understand. If he was signed for 3-4 years, sure. I mean, that would at least make some kind of sense. But if the guy's just guaranteed to leave next year, barring a catastrophic injury, like, okay, he's going to go.
Yeah, agreed. Now, let's shift to elsewhere in the NFL right now. This is, get used to it, folks, it's the doldrums. I found myself watching college basketball. I'm like, oh, God, I'm really having withdrawals here. But there were a couple of stories that came out from other teams. We didn't cover this a couple weeks ago, but Deion Sanders came out and said that the Colts were stealing signals when Tony Dungy was the coach there, the Peyton Manning years. And for some reason, that was like a two-day story.
Right, and obviously.
Nobody denied it either. Deion came out and he said, the Colts stole signals. Everybody knows it. They know it. I know it. And then Tony Dungy was like, well, we might have been watching signals, but you know, everyone watches signals.
Right. And it's like, oh, why didn't you get fucking ridiculed? Yeah.
Well, first of all, Tony Dungy, you're right. Everyone does and everyone should. I used to steal signals playing baseball. I mean, it's a joke. Everyone does it and you should. It's gamesmanship. But don't then turn around and act like if you do it with the camera, this is totally different. And it wasn't even just that the camera... For those at home, I'm talking about Spygate now. The Patriots infraction for Spygate was filming
from the wrong area.
From an unauthorized zone.
Yeah.
Filming wasn't illegal. Stealing signals, not illegal.
It was from the stands.
Yeah. I think it was from the sideline.
No.
No, they were filming from the stands. It was something like that. The camera was located in the wrong area.
I thought it was the stands. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the only thing. So don't sit there and tell me that championships are tainted because of the location of a camera.
I know.
Then turn around and say, oh, yeah, we stole signals. Everyone does it. It's no biggie.
Since we've won the last two, I think it's... I feel like that the whole Spygate thing is kind of brushed away a little bit.
It has. It 100% has. But I want vindication.
Yeah. We've got vindication, Sean. Yeah. No, we keep winning.
Well, I want them to admit it.
The other thing was the Sherman thing.
Oh, yeah.
Supposed to get a doc draft pick for injury.
For failing to report Richard Sherman's knee injury.
Now, that I thought was very nice because this also kind of ties back to the whole Spygate thing where Bill Belichick's excuse at the time was, we misinterpreted the rules. How could you misinterpret the rules? What are you, stupid? I mean, everyone thought that was a joke.
Yeah.
Yet, the Seahawks, for doing this, said they misinterpreted the rules. Because they thought you needed to be out of practice or not practicing in full to report you. Well, tough shit you do.
He did sit out practice 3 times.
Well, that's not what they said.
Well, he sat out practice three times, and they said it was for non-injury related reasons. Meanwhile, he was dealing with a significant knee injury.
Right, and they
got
out.
That was a direct quote from Pete Carroll, a significant knee injury.
Yeah.
I mean, in his own words, he...
Significant.
He
chose the word significant.
Which is the word in the rule.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. You have to report significant injuries, and he said it was a significant injury. And then they don't report it, and all this people are wondering how they might be fined or docked a draft pick, considering that they've broken off-season rules three times in the past, so they are a bad actor.
Why? What are the other ones they broke?
They would have practices that ran too long. They had practices that...
With pads and hitting.
Pads, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Illegal practices in the off-season. And they were fined for a couple of those. And then we thought, oh, they're repeat offenders. They might be more strictly punished for this one. And nope, they got a warning.
They were supposed to have a draft pick docked.
They were, according to the letter of the law, I think so. Something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Bullshit. That is bullshit.
Yeah, and so they just got a warning. And meanwhile, the Steelers are going to go through something very similar by not disclosing Le'Veon Bell's groin injury, which we saw how much that fucked with them during the AFC Championship game.
Maybe and even... what about the Falcons, too?
Falcons what?
Julio's injury.
He wasn't on the injury report.
So I don't know. I guess I don't know what the fuck. They changed the rule and it makes no sense anymore. It used to be too micromanaged where everybody had to be on something. Everybody with an injury had to be on. Now it's like, well, no. It's like, what the fuck? You went from real tight-knit to completely opposite. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So some people are thinking that the reason that they gave the Seahawks a warning was because they want to give the Steelers a warning, and therefore they got to make it look a little bit consistent. So they start with a warning for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of a ridiculous conspiracy theory about this Seahawks thing, and I was thinking that the NFL doesn't want a Patriots dynasty, and that's not, mm-hmm. Nothing against the Patriots, just they don't want dynasty. There's a reason that the draft goes the worst teams pick first. They're right. trying to have parity. There's a reason we have a hard salary cap in the NFL, and no other sport has that. It's to prevent dynasties, and so they are looking at the Patriots, and they're like, well, we got to prevent this shit. So, you know, they have a Deflategate thing. We give a little harsh penalty there. Oh, well, we'll try to get their quarterback out of there for a little bit. And then that shit didn't work. So they're like, all right, we need to prop up some of these contenders. We need to have better teams for them to play against. And who's the only team that seems to be able to beat them? The Seahawks. So we can't hurt the Seahawks at all.
Yeah.
We gotta keep them as good as they can be. See, isn't that stupid? That is the most like me-centric way to look at anything.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh,
clearly the lack of punishment against the Seahawks is due to the Patriots.
But I mean, it is kind of bullshit that anything happens. I mean, you know, the Deflategate thing's over. There's no reason to rehash that. But Brady clearly won. I mean, it's over. He settled it. He won the Super Bowl, biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. You can't do that if you're cheating. If you were cheating and they corrected, caught you, you wouldn't be able to do that. That's it. So it's just the fact that, you know, it's like these other teams, if the Patriots did something like that, it would be national news, uproar, tainted Super Bowl, all kinds of shit. But the Seahawks do it in the playoffs, and it's like...
Whatever.
Oh, it's a slap on the wrist. They didn't do anything before, yet they've had, like you said, they've broken the rules before, too. So it's their repeat offenders.
How many PED suspensions have they had?
A lot.
So many. I think they lead the league.
Probably. They have a shitload.
Carroll's era.
They have a shitload. And, you know, they, like you said, the practices, you know, not following the league standards on practice. It's just like, okay, well, don't use that terminology. At least come up with some kind of different terminology where, you know, there's no parallels to these other cases where, like, well, you said that we were repeat offenders, and they're repeat offenders, clearly, and nothing happened to them.
Well, it's unrelated offenses.
So was ours.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my comeback, too. It's like, what does filming signals have to do with air pressure in footballs?
And it's, you know, nothing. I can understand people hate us because we keep winning and we're talking about this stupid shit, but it's also like, okay, we're winning, and people bitch about it because we constantly get ridiculed. It's like they're trying to pull the Patriots off their podium. For what reason? Have someone beat them. Someone will beat them. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It has to happen. Odds are they will lose at some point. Knock on wood. I don't hope it's anytime soon. But let it be fair. Let people fucking beat them.
Instead of tipping the scales?
Let it tip in the, yeah. I mean, you take away their best player for four games, they won the Super Bowl. Maybe you guys should fucking figure out your personnel a little better. Not draft horribly and, you know, run your team like clowns. You know? Maybe you should figure that shit out.
Yeah.
Think Belichick's going through the fucking trash. Maybe he just watches more fucking film than you. Is that impossible? Where he knows the goddamn plays because he understands the scheme so well?
Definitely possible.
So, yeah. I mean, it is kind of, you know, it's just annoying. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, really?
And they take away a first-round pick, and the Patriots decide to turn their backup quarterback into the value of a first-round pick.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, all right, fuck you. We'll just make one out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. They took the first-round pick. I mean, that kind of like goes completely under the radar, that the first-round pick of last year was gone.
And our best fourth-round pick this year will be gone as well.
Yeah, and I saw this thing is on – I don't know what the guy's name is. His name, first name, Max. I don't know his last name. But this guy, he's a host on the show with Stephen A. Smith, First Take.
You're going to reference that guy?
That's what I'm here to say is how pathetic he is to get to that situation. All he does is shit on the Patriots, which is fine. You want to shit on the Patriots, it's fine. But he did this thing today or recently where he was calling everyone in New England fans whiners because how we take our wins, because we still bring up the past a little bit even after we've won. It's like, well, we bring up the past because we still won and it was an unfair road to get there. It's like, yeah, we won. Trolling. That's great. Yeah, exactly.
That's all he's doing is trolling.
He's trolling. Exactly. It's like, well, how'd you get your job, dude? Like,
You're bringing it up. You're talking about him.
Yeah. Well,
it's working.
He's a douche. He's a douche. That's how I'm bringing him up. He's a douche. It's like, yeah, dude, we're still talking. We won. And we're happy, but you still took away a fucking two draft picks. Like, that still affects us this year for no considerable reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people fucking talk about it.
Yeah. Well, let's hope they overcome it again next season. This was just, thank you guys for tuning in. We were just doing a little primer for the off season. Coming up, we'll do another episode about the free agency when it gets closer to that. I think that's like March 10th was when
free agency starts.
Yeah.
So that's not for a little bit. And then after that will be the draft and all the other off-season activities. So we'll be back soon to give them a more in-depth look, and hopefully we'll have more clarity as to what Hightower's situation is, Amendola's situation, and a couple other players in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in. You guys can find us at the Pats Podcast on Twitter, and we'll be back soon.
Yep.
See ya.
Adios.